Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Appreciate everybody getting in, as well as Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. That's hour one. Every single Wednesday, it is what we do with Chris Landry. If you ever missed the program or you didn't hear it, you had to step away, we got you covered. And not just for Chris Landry, but again, it's an appointment. You know it. Bottom of hour one, every Wednesday, going to be Landry, and he stays with us through the top of the hour. So that's Chris Landry. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we got our good friend David Murray from Gene's Page. He covers Mississippi State and has done for a long time, Dogs Bite Mag. It's David Murray, again, talking Mississippi State. That's in about 10 minutes. And then bottom of the hour, Mike Scarborough from TigerBait.com, number one source for LSU sports and recruiting news. He is the owner and publisher. Mike Scarborough coming on to talk a little Tigers. But right now, you know, normally I say headlines and we tell you about Alexander Schnarr and Associates, and they're wonderful folks. And if you need some legal expertise, you do need them. But there is a bigger story, and I just kind of wanted to have a just sort of a conversation about this. And it's Josh Heupel and putting together his coaching staff there in Knoxville. It seems that it's going to take a little bit of time, and it seems that's okay with everybody on Rocky Top. There was a thought that 2021 was going to be an entire pass to the sea. Like, they just hired Cody Burns. I think that's official now. Cody Burns is wide receiver coach. But, for instance, he's been sniffing around with the Ohio State linebacker. He made a run at Blake Baker, didn't he? Yeah, Josh Heupel. Blake Baker, who his buddy down at UM just said, hey, no commentary on our defensive coordinator, Manny Diaz. No commentary on the DC. But you know what? I'm going to take over play calling. No offense. And then what happened about 2 weeks later? Blake's like, hey, I got a new job. I'm going to Baton Rouge. So he's going to coach linebackers. And I generally understood that Heupel was calling and he called Blake Baker, who has been a coordinator and has had some success. Didn't at the end of last season, but he's had some success. He knows what he's doing. You'd be capable. Be nothing special. And I don't mean this to be crappy because I don't have anything personal against the guy, but, like, don't wind up with Willie Martinez. That's what I'm saying. Seriously, do not wind up with Willie Martinez. That's not what you want. You're going to let him coach secondary? He was on the staff at UCF. He's been on the staff at Knoxville. You don't want him as your DC. So he appears to be taking some time here. And, oh, Baker, he's at LSU for, like, I don't know, 2 weeks. And he is at least being pursued for a conversation. It wasn't, Blake, hey, Josh, you want to be the DC? Nope, don't even need to talk to you face-to-face or Zoom-to-Zoom or Skype you in or don't even need it. Just going to go ahead and send you over a contract offer. That's not how it went. But I believe Blake Baker probably looked around and was like, wait a minute, there's a heck of a lot of talent here on this roster. Oh, and we're getting more of it. They just got the Clemson linebacker too, didn't they? Yeah, LSU's getting the Clemson transfer. Mike Jones Jr., really, really good ball player. He's played a lot of football for Clemson. Do you know what LSU's number one need is? Linebacker. I say above any other position group, entire roster. I mean, you think of Devin White, Patrick Queen, Jabril Cox, for what they were asking him to do, which was not the right stuff. They've had, I mean, just They've had, but see, you know what it is? Most years, 19 was different. Most years, they've had like one stud there. They don't have the depth, and when they have an injury, we saw that, remember, with Beckwith when he got hurt. And you got to go all the way back, I mean, maybe to like 11 or 12 before you really looked over there and said, okay, I see the depth there. For some reason, linebacker, it's been that's been the issue. So they just got a good one in there. But Baker, he passed on Tennessee. And really even pursuing it or having conversations. That's one guy, and everybody makes their own deal. But that is one guy who looked around and was like, you know what? I just don't want to – I don't want to leave one job and then leave a guy who threw me a bone 2 weeks later. Nah, I'm good. And none of us know for certain how much that conversation would have progressed. But Baker's like, no, I'm going to stay here. I would not get alarmed. Remember, there was a scenario from leadership in Knoxville. There was a scenario where 2021, the entire season, we're taking a pass on the entire season. Do you know what a much better approach is, at least in my opinion? Get the actual head coach in place and then say, take your time building the staff you want. Instead of hiring an interim where it's really sort of a throwaway or a just a stop the bleeding, we just need somebody to warm a chair while we pull months off the calendar. Instead of that, get the actual coach you want and then say, and there is no rush. Get a staff, fill out all 10 spots, but there is no rush. Don't worry about signing day. Don't worry about whatever. We got the NCAA about to lower sack of bricks on our head anyway. So we just want to hire anybody we do bring in. We want to make sure it's the right guy. So I am not fretting. I'm also not a Vols fan. But I promise you, take yourself out of your Vols fandom. I ain't fretting about it. And that is as an outside observer just evaluating. So if you're a Vols fan, you're going to have a full staff, and they're all going to be quality coaches. And we'll talk about them as each of them get named. But there is no urgency right now, and that's actually the better way to approach it, in my opinion, on Rocky Top. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, talk more college football next.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Well, if there's anywhere in Power 5 football where that door to the transfer portal swings both ways, brother, it's Starkville. A lot of grown man talent on the way out of town for various and sundry reasons, but plenty that has come in town, both for last year's team, including one kid who used the door both ways. Tyrell Shavers, he walked through the door and then he walked back out the door. And I believe maybe six more transfers for this year, including, if you want to know what Mike Leach is about, six transfers, including three quarterbacks, including one kid from right there in state. I want to welcome on now. I'm going to say a good friend of the program. He does a tremendous job covering Mississippi State, and he hates when I say this, but it adds to his credibility. He's been doing it for decades. It's our good friend, David Murray. David, how are you, brother?
You mentioned that just today on our message board on jeanspage.com, somebody was asking about the 1981 Mississippi State team, and I had to go into depth and describe sadly how what probably was our best shot at winning an SEC championship in the old format got away in 81. And it's really strange, Chuck. I was commenting to somebody else on social media. I could probably sit down and sketch out the lineup of all 22 positions, or at least 20 of them, of the 1980 team. I would probably take 15 minutes to put together last year's starting lineup. So these things start piling up as time goes on. But,
am I remembering John Bond and the three-back offense and the interlocked MSU kind of stair-stepping down the side of the helmet?
Well, there's another reason that came up, because our good friend Bruce Arians got the Super Bowl ring. Well, Bruce coached at Mississippi State. He was hired by Bob Tyler, believe it or not, in 1978 as a receivers coach to install a pro-style offense. Then he survived the transition to coach for Emory Ballard under the Wishbone for two seasons. And in that his third season, he installed the Wingbone offense that John Bond was able to operate in others. And the success, of course, beat Alabama. Well, Bear Bryant, who was looking to tweak his wishbone, hired Bruce Arians away. And the next year, Alabama came out in an inverted wishbone with the two tailbacks in front of the fullback. And State fans howled that Bruce had taken the playbook with him. Well, when Bruce came back to campus to work for Jackie Sherrill as offensive coordinator in the mid-90s, I caught him one day and said, Bruce. And oh, by the way, let me throw this in. When Bruce Arians was young, look up a picture of him, and my former boss, Joe Deere, had the great comment, Bruce Arians looked more like Jimmy Buffett than Jimmy Buffett back then. So,
you know, the funny thing, I talked about Arians about a month ago, that he was on that staff with Bear Bryant's last game in the Liberty Bowl against Illinois.
He was indeed. And,
absolutely.
You know, talking about the offense, you know, I said, Bruce, did you take the playbook with you to Tuscaloosa? And we were joking. He said, hell yeah, I wrote most of it, so it was no problem for him. So congratulations to Bruce, proud of him, and it was fun to see a guy who's been around the laboring as long as he had to get his rewards. But just a little, you know, old Mississippi State SEC note to throw in there from the Super.
Yeah, as I'm remembering, there was a Saturday afternoon in El Paso against Nebraska in a bowl game, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah. I remember that one well.
All right, let's talk about what's going to happen this coming year. And I'm not trying to muckrake. I like literally from an accounting standpoint, because I've checked periodically, but I didn't this morning. In all seriousness, is Malik Heath still with the program, and is he going to be with the program?
Yes, he is. He has remained with it. He'll be in spring practice unless something changes between now and, I believe, they have not set a start date yet, but it looks like March 17th or 18th is when Mike Leach will begin his first full spring here, but second season. Heath is still with the program and intends to stay as best we can determine. Now, the transfer portal, as you know, is just gone berserk this year. One of those unintended consequences, and you've seen stories written by others pointing out there are a heck of a lot more players in the portal than there are landing spots for them, thanks to the NCAA granting an extra year to so many people. So there's a lot of guys jumping who are making mistakes, but, you know, bless them. It's something that's just going to have to play out in time. But as of right now, Mississippi State has six guys who have come in, some on scholarship, and a couple walk-ons. For instance, you know, Jack Abraham, the good quarterback from Southern Mississippi, has enrolled at Mississippi State, and he didn't come here just to play backup to,
he's talented.
No, he's a good, solid player, Oxford kid. He's bounced around. He's not coming in here just to be a backup. He wants to contend for the job with Will Rogers and incoming freshman Sawyer Robertson, who, by the way, is the real deal if you saw what he did his last high school season out in Texas. This is a guy that Mike Leach specifically targeted all along. So quarterback competition is going to be fun come fall. Robertson won't be here until summer, though, so it's going to be Abraham and Rogers during spring ball. You know, a guy like Randy Charlton from Central Florida, he's expected to step in at defensive end / linebacker. The big score, I think, is going to be Jalen Green, the cornerback from Texas, because State immediately needed help in the secondary, certainly some depth there. You talk about losses to the portal. I don't consider Terrell Shavers a loss in the sense that the guy has great talent, but he just didn't do what it took to fit in.
Never happened.
I'm a little more worried about the loss of a guy like Brandon Cunningham, who I think will end up at Southern Miss, kind of a give and take there. His partially stemmed from the bowl game incident. Nothing has been made official, but there will be suspensions served the first game of this coming season, we understand. Mike Leach will not announce those until probably game day when State hosts Louisiana Tech, unlike some other schools that are putting out these things in advance. But that's going to happen. You see, I don't think any of the transfers are really losses at this this point other than the depth perspective. And, of course, Marcus Murphy, who decided to turn professional. We really could have used him at the secondary as well, because that's a spot that has to be rebuilt. Otherwise, though, as you say, the portal takes, the portal gives, and the portal leaves a whole lot of guessing on some guys that are going to find the grass is not always greener.
All right, now, there's a kid that I've asked you about, and you didn't take it as offense. You know what I was saying, and I just can't get enough of him. The more I watched him, Jaquavius Marks, and this is what I said. You didn't get offended, and if you're a State fan, don't get offended. That's not a kid that winds up at Mississippi State. I mean, he's out of Georgia, and he's a four-star, and that is a big, big, big-time talent. Everybody knew it, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to Starkville even with the coaching change. What are all the different things they can do with him? Because he's not a Kylan Hill sort of body, but he's talented.
No, he's not, but he is about as strong as Hill, though he's not quite as big. I don't know that he has the explosive speed, top-end speed that Hill had, but what he's got is the moves and the first-step speed that is critical in an air raid-type offense. But let's give credit to Dylan Johnson, too, his classmate, because you've got a pair there. You saw what Mike Leach was able to do, pretty much starting with the Vanderbilt game and then on.
Yeah.
You use Marks out in the open field to catch those swing passes, to run the draw plays from scrimmage, to bounce around the corners. Then you get down the red zone, you give Dylan Johnson, who, though physically he's the same size, the same script, is a stronger type runner, much better scoring offensively. And now that's why a guy like a Lee Witherspoon, who I think is a talented back, he's one of those that also entered the transfer portal because he saw the future there. And, of course, State will be bringing in more running backs as well. So that's going to be an interesting position to see develop. But you're right about Marks. I really enjoy seeing what he can do in those. The trick to him, I think, is going to be Will Rogers and KJ Costello left him in some bad situations last year, catching the ball where as soon as he was catching it, he was getting hit. But that had more to do with State's receivers not stretching zone defenses and pulling coverages. Now that you have Malik Heath, who you mentioned, Jaden Wally, who made freshman All-ACC and really emerged at the end of the season, you have a bunch of receivers coming in, whether by transfers or high school signees, who are going to totally revamp this receiving core. Instead of having some possession-type receivers out there, you'll actually have guys who can stretch a zone, force it to adjust, maybe even push them back into a man defense, and that opens up the playbook for so many things in year two under Mike Leach's system.
David, final question for you. We're going to have about a minute left. I've talked about how long it takes at Texas Tech and on the Palouse, and, you know, Mike Leach, it's not an instant thing offensively. I said last year, about midway through, I was like, he's got better talent on defense right now than he's had at Texas Tech or Washington State ever. But some of that's gone. Thompson's gone, Marcus Murphy, whoever. But there is talent coming back. Give us about a 60-second overview of what's possible, because the defense was good last year.
Defense is good, but you lost your starting line with the exception of Nathan Pickering, who opted out midseason.
Yeah.
Will be back. So Marquis Spencer, you're losing some guys who really played well. The defense is going to be a work in progress. But the key thing, his biggest recruiting score of the year was keeping Zach Arnett. Now, we don't know how long he's going to be here because he was targeted by LSU, Notre Dame, Texas, all spoke to him. He decided to stay another year here and run his 3-3-5 here in Starkville. He's a guy that's on the radar for everyone in coming years. To me, he's the guy that's key more than any personnel on the field, is what Arnett can do with his staff to get this defense rebuilt, restocked. And the main thing, Chuck, this offense is going to score more points. And that's what the game is now. You don't try to stop anybody anymore. You just try to slow them down, get some turnovers, and let your offense build the lead. Mike Leach is going to follow that script and probably even write his own script coming in here into year two as his offense develops. We say it again, even in the old, good old SEC, the best defense is still going to be a really good offense.
Yeah, it's changed. I was mentioning that a couple of weeks ago that I don't say great defense. I mean, hey, you got to play some great defense. It's good enough defense and situational defense. That's what you go for. David, always appreciate your time, amigo. Thank you.
Good to hear from you, Chuck.
All right, David Murray again from Dog Bite Matt Jean's page, covering Mississippi State. And it's situational. Hey, we're good in the red zone, or we create some turnovers, whatever. Force field goals, set of touchdowns, whatever the percentages are. You just pick an angle, or you know what? We give them some big plays, but we were second in the conference on sacks, and you take the trade-off there. It's a totally different set of measuring sticks than it was even 10 years ago.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Do your thing, Ed. Ed Ogeron. And you know what his thing is. It's recruiting. And actually, it's cruding. And LSU continues to do their thing. Brian Thomas, 4-star wide receiver. Oh, what a fun-looking young wide receiver. He's 6'4", and he's whatever. He's probably 195 or something. I don't know. He's got a frame where he can add, but the kid's 6'4". And I have not seen him in person, and that's always different, how he carries himself, you know, setting up defensive backs. That's advanced stuff for a high school kid. Most times when you're 6'4 and you can run in high school, all you do is kind of outrun people and then try to outjump people. But when you watch this kid, man, he just floats. He just kind of hangs in the air and contorts his body and throws out a hand, and it's a really, really good get. But again, it's a 4-star wide receiver, which – by my calculations, which it stayed in single digits, so that was all right. Out of the top 10 players in the state of Louisiana, LSU got either 6 or 7 of them, and I think they got the entire top 5. I want to welcome on now, and that's as that's for like last week's signing day. That's the final from last week's crop of high school kids. I want to welcome on now from TigerBait.com. It is Mike Scarborough. Mike, how are you today?
Hey, glad to be with you.
Brian Thomas, talk about that kid and then talk about Coach O and the staff and coming off what was an interesting season, unexpected. Talk about what they were able to do just cleaning up in their own state, including Brian Thomas at the very end.
Yeah, I was there yesterday for Thomas's announcement, and fantastic wide receiver. Had a chance to see him twice this past high school season, and he took one against Catholic High in a scrimmage that was a sight to see, zigging in the open field, which is for a 6'4" kid. It gets a very good Catholic High team that won a state title. Fantastic receiver, played basketball, 2-sport kid. And my thought on him after watching him for 3 years is, you know, when he's totally dedicated to football, which he is now, and not playing basketball anymore, the sky's the limit for him. And you nailed it. He's about 190. And I think his frame could, by the time he finishes college career, he could be in the 215 to 220 range easily. Going to be a very physical 6'4" kid. So, and so that gives LSU 5 wide receivers, depending on which outlet you look at, a top 5 recruiting class, moved up to number 3 in the composite ranking with his signing yesterday. And then right before coming on with you, Clemson linebacker Mike Jones announced his decision to commit to LSU. So Orgeron's got another spot to work with, and we'll see if it is either another linebacker or an offensive lineman or a corner. We'll see how they end up using it. I think it might be smart for him to go through spring football practice with all these new coaches, knock on wood, that there's no catastrophic injuries, and keep that spot open for where they really diagnose a problem.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Mike Jones coming over, and it's interesting to me because last year it was Jabril Cox, and this year it'll be Mike Jones, and he's immediately eligible, and he's a good ball player. He's already played a lot of ball for Clemson. But who knows how the transfer portal works out year to year. But, you know, when you're bringing in transfers like that, you're going to have positions. Hey, suddenly we've got a vacuum at secondary or running back or whatever. For 2 years in a row, though, LSU and the coaching staff have been able to secure it. Talk a little bit more about what they have in Mike Jones coming in.
Yeah, I mean, transfer portal has been really good to LSU. Cole Tracy, Joe Burrow, Jabril Cox. I mean, they've had some misses in there as well, but you know, you don't have that great 2019 season without the biggest of all, Burrow.
But yeah, Thad Moss. Yeah, too.
Yep, and Cox, you know, had a great year in a mediocre, disappointing year. But it's going to be the new norm, I fear. And, you know, as someone who's covered recruiting for multiple decades now, I keep telling people when I first started doing this, you know, it was always a kind of a saying that, well, at least football recruiting isn't as dirty and filthy as basketball recruiting. And I think those days are long gone. And I think now with the transfer portal and I don't know what the NCAA's got coming down the horizon, but, you know, really in the Power Five, you've gotten yourself to where it's almost like semi-pro football. And the transfer portal is going to be absolutely like a version of free agency.
On a year-to-year basis, and you know, when I used to think a couple of things about JUCO transfers, and you know, Mike, feel free to give me your opinion on this. That I said two things. First of all, you don't bring in a JUCO to watch. If you're bringing in a JUCO, it's because you expect both sides understand we expect you to play up and start. And the second thing is that it's a short game recruiting wise, because get the kid out of high school, you know, this 3, 4, 5 years before you have to expend any resources to re-recruit that position, that scholarship. You got to do it dang near every year or every 2 years now. And that's not nothing when even at the SEC level with an unlimited budget, seemingly it's the effort and the time to re-recruit a scholarship that you just filled. That is a challenge.
Yeah, and look, if you've got a full class of 25 to give and you feel fairly confident that your first 17 or 18 are you know, big-time high school kids that are definitely going to contribute to your program, but then maybe your 18 through 25 are some guys that maybe you have to develop, you're unsure about, maybe, you know, have to add 30 pounds of muscle if they're a 250-pound offensive lineman right now. You know, can you get them to 290? It's going to be a work in progress. You know, I think that that's where the transfer portal is going to have these college coaches, you know, looking at the transfer portal and saying, you know what, let's rather than take that kid that we've got to develop and it's going to be a 2 or 3 year process, why don't we go for a kid who's, you know, maybe done it was a first team all Sun Belt selection last year.
If we look over on the defense, Stingley did something 2 years ago that's just impossible. He made it look easy playing against the best receivers in America. Tell me your general review. If I didn't see a single snap last year, what's your review of Stingley's season, and what is the potential for just the group of corners if everybody's healthy and right and they get good pass rush in front of them, et cetera?
I think LSU is about to bounce back in a big way, and usually I'm really conservative, and you know, everybody in the media here is usually, you know, you're going to pick Alabama to win the West, and then you're wondering, is LSU going to be 10-2, 9-3, 11-1, depending on the schedule. Of course, now it's an odd year, so you get Auburn, Florida, and Texas A&M at home, and LSU usually plays Alabama better on the road. Open with UCLA. I just think, and then you're going to have an offensive line. I think the average age is going to be about 23 across the board. I mean,
yeah.
The quarterback competition is going to be stellar. You got four guys there. Running backs are going to be fantastic. They're oohing and on over Armani Goodwin, who they got with the changeover to Auburn. Him running a crazy 60 meters last week. I wide receiver core will be what it always is, and now you got five of them in this class to add to it. So, you know, I think LSU's outlook next year, getting everything right, they're excited about the new coaches. Last year was just you couldn't draw up a better way to fall apart than what happened to LSU last year between free agency, opt-outs, COVID.
Quarterback injury.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one thing after another. Cancers in the locker room, former players locally causing trouble. You had former players doing what they do, and with agendas, and we saw it all last year. And then Bo Pelini comes in, and I hate to say it because he's only a year older than me, but he came in here and not being very modern in his approach. And when you had some kids who were coming off a national championship and having all those rings given to them, and you got this guy who comes in and wants to holler at them, doesn't want to use a multi-million dollar walk-through room with, you know, screens all around and eight video cameras shooting at it and walking, because it's just those newfangled ideas. It just didn't work. And so now Orgeron picks up the pieces, and I'm telling people, I think LSU is poised to go 10-2 or 11-1 next year. I believe it. I'm picking Alabama in the West, but I do think if LSU was in the East, they'd win it.
Mike, last thing for you, all right? And you got to bet the pension on this, all right? One scholarship spot left. We're both on the same page. I mean, everybody is. It's the portal, like so many other programs, for that final scholarship or two. Give me the position group that gets addressed, though. Is it another linebacker, maybe?
I think it's either another linebacker or maybe a corner. Again, though, I you know, hold on to it. We haven't gotten our spring practice dates yet. You know, usually it's still, they'll either sandwich it, you know, a couple of weeks before Easter and then a couple of weeks after. And of course, everybody gets their spring game slotted on SEC Network in April. So we'll see. Go through spring practice. Let all those coaches get to work with their guys and then let them debate it out as to what they need. But probably another linebacker or a corner. I think it'll be somewhere on defense.
Man, I don't think I agree with you. After spring, I think it's going to look like Hunger Games in coaches' staff rooms, in meeting rooms all over America, trying to claim that last scholarship for their position group. Mike, good stuff, brother. I appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you.
Hey, anytime. Talk soon.
All right, from TigerBait.com. That's what it's going to be like, because you get in there, and it's the same thing at the NFL level. When you are talking about what to do with one of your draft picks or with free agent dollars, and it's a position coach, and it's different in the NFL because, obviously, if you're the offensive line coach or the secondary coach, that's who you're going to work with. That's who you work with at the college level, but that may not be who you recruit, because I recruit South Florida or I recruit the Nashville area Nashville. I'm the linebackers coach, but I recruit Nashville, so that means I'm recruiting the running back. And that way, when you bring them onto campus or you get another coach involved, it is the position coach. And so you kind of get to, you know, get some overlap there in a lot of cases. But I think that after spring, it's going to be that final scholarship or two. And it's going to be even more so than when you're talking about before a traditional signing day, you would have those same conversations. But over high school kids, wasn't as passionate. I mean, you still had ideas, and believe me, every position coach wanted to hoard one more scholarship for their group. But this, you even get more excited about it because I've seen that kid play. We may have played against him. We've got all this tape. Our former OC is now his head coach. You've got all of this going on. And so the transfer portal, I mean, it's we were talking about with Mississippi State. A lot of talent left, a lot of talent came right back in. So it's an opportunity, and you really do not have that luxury of just kind of standing pat, not right now.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly, because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Catch watch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
He's all starting right in right now, doing a great job. We were going to play our hands a little looser this year. You can expect to have a better pass rush than we had last year. And Anthony's going to lead that charge. Him and Ali Gay and BJ O'Gillary.
It's always an advantage. Upperclassmen in college football and high school football, even especially, because the further away from like 10 years old you get, the more that a 3 or 4 year difference in age makes. And Andre Anthony's a grown man. He could be deciding, I'm heading off to the NFL, but he's like, you know what? Season in Baton Rouge, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be Arden Key. No, I'm going to be good Arden Key. Excuse me. Let me clarify. Dan, there's various Arden Keys.
Oh, very much, yes.
Okay, let me clarify. Would this be acceptable? I'm going to be freshman Arden Key who showed up and dominated the conference with a pass rush.
That's the version that everybody wants to see, yes.
There you go. Now, I don't know if Andre Anthony's got that because I was – Arden Key didn't have that a second or a third year. He had some other challenges. But, I mean, if you show up and you can, if you can be Derek Barnett at Tennessee – Jadeveon Clowney, whatever, you know, we're talking about first overall draft picks there. That's not what it has to be. Just a consistent pressure off the edge, especially early in the season, so the reputation gets around, and especially early in the game, so that maybe by the second half, there are ghosts and echoes, and you're getting a little bit of that residual benefit for an earlier hit in the game. And so that's the number one thing, folks. And I've said that 1,000 times, and he knows it. Even like Chaisson, when he finally got healthy and was in the lineup playing consistently, all right, well, this is what we talked about. And turned kid into he was a first-round pick, wasn't he? Yeah, Clavon Chaisson. So if you can get that, then that's the number one way that you play defense today in college. That's the number one way that you play defense at the NFL level. I want to appreciate all the guests coming on today. Chris Landry, you know what it is. Wednesday, every Wednesday, bottom of hour one all the way to the top. That's Chris Landry. Also, David Murray from Gene's Page talking state football. Mike Scarborough just came on, TigerBait.com. If you missed any of the guests, well, you don't have to miss the guest. We got a podcast. We got all kinds of stuff for you. Get the podcast. Get the app. You know where to go, thepodcastpark.com. You can go to the App Store, get the SST app. It's all there for you. Dan Matthews will be popping in just a minute, but right now I'm going to wrap this up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
It's not often I turn to the East Side Crips for help decorating my kitchen, but I'm making an exception. We all are. Snoop Dogg is as mainstream as any celebrity in America. Within 12 hours this past weekend, folks, I saw the man pitch weed, socks, beer, bath towels, kitchen cutlery, different weed, a food delivery company, life insurance, and then host the Puppy Bowl. And the NFL, this is the capper. The NFL has chosen Snoop Dogg as the face of Super Bowl 56 in Los Angeles. Snoop Dogg, official NFL rep for the Super Bowl. And weed. No one does all that, folks. Nobody crosses all those boundaries. He is probably on a list. And do this little fun exercise, because I came up with four. He's on a list, I guarantee you, there are no more than 10 celebrities over the past 25 years with more broad appeal across all those boundaries than Snoop Dogg. I don't get celebrity starstruck. Go to KingCFB on Twitter. I retweeted a picture. I saw Snoop about 7 years ago in the Cancun airport. I don't take pictures of celebrities in public. I don't want to bother them. I was like, that's Snoop Dogg. Snap. Took the picture, tweet. I retweeted it today. He is the most just likable, approachable, just seemingly regular, multi-millionaire former Roland 20s East Side Crip that any of us buy bath towels from. That is my closing argument, brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. Doesn't matter. You're in Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, wherever. If you need legal expertise, and the Roland 20s East Side Crips may, You need Alexander Shannara and Associates. I'm not kidding. That Martha Stewart thing, that was brilliant. Bath towels, pots and pans, whatever. Dan, what's up?
Yeah, also, what, queso and Tostitos
all
chips.
All of it.
Yeah, he's got it all. I mean,
DoorDash, you know, Corona. Well, yeah, Corona. That's the beer he does, right?
It does, yeah. He and, I believe, Bad Bunny is in that commercial now, too. So, yeah, widespread appeal is always a good thing, that is for sure.
He's getting paid.
Yeah, and that's what it means. It means a lot of different checks are coming to that mailbox, and when you got a lot of those, then things are usually good going in your life. You know, it's interesting. We talked about Shane Beamer earlier and that initial staff that he's had to hire, rehire, and in some cases have to replace there at South Carolina. And, you know, it's one of those things that is the most important thing you can do when you get to a program is people immediately look at it and ask, well, hey, coach, what are you going to do about recruiting? At that point, recruiting is done. There's nothing you can do about it. You're going to have to rely on players that normally you would not want to have to rely on. There's nothing you can do. The goose is cooked. In terms of coaching, that is the single most important thing. Chuck, remember I told you a few years ago a piece of advice I got from a coach in terms of what do you do when you start a football program? Immediately you take inventory. That's as simple as going into the equipment room and counting how many helmets you have, how many chin straps, all of the above. That's what you have to do first. In the same case with a college football program, when you've been around for years, the first thing is, who do I have? Who can I bring here? Who can I keep is the other part of this. And then also as well, who do I turn to if I need to turn to other people? Because as we've seen in Tuscaloosa over the last few years, I mean, this is just this is another offseason for Nick having to replace five assistant coaches. That's just another offseason. I mean, it almost to his point, if he turns around and says all 10 guys are coming back, I don't know this life. That's weird.
I've got people I promise favors to. I need three y'all to leave.
That's it, yeah. A couple of you go to the NFL, one guy go out west to the Pac-12. But that's the number one thing that as a head coach, and I think with Shane Beamer is going to be so important for him because it looks like we're already looking to Brian Harsin and saying, hey, you got it right. At least on the coordinators, you got it right. For Shane Beamer, that's going to be the first real at least litmus test that we can give him to find out how much he is built to be able to do this on a regular basis as a head coach. Because if he does miss on four, five of these guys, then that's another year, and that's another year that you pause the progression of your program in terms of being able to grow forward because you want to be able, if you're in his situation, to maybe lose a guy next year. But the one that you would hope to have the most is you don't lose anybody next year.
There are some assistants that the word gets around pretty quickly, and I'm talking young guys that you may need to take a chance on that don't have a resume yet, but they have a sterling reputation and a recommendation from somebody who you should trust. Ever so often, there's a Lincoln Riley, okay? Ever so often, there's a Brom. Ever so often, you get a guy like Jeff Collins, who so many people are high on. What I'm saying is that if you're the established head coach and you're looking to either elevate from Glenville State to a Power 5 program or from a position coach to a coordinator, fact, 10 of those guys are always out there. If you know Eli Drinkwitz when he's the OC at NC State, well, you got a leg up on everybody. Those guys, I promise you, they're always out. Maybe Montario Hardesty's the next one. It's just up to the coach to find them. All right, wraps it up on a Wednesday, folks. Be back tomorrow with more college football conversation on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.